Röster.
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 Dagens programledare är Per-Åke och Roger.
Dina röster i vardagen.
Hej hej, välkomna till Fontänbubbel. Vi sänder här från Lunds fontänhus i Lund. Idag så är det jag, Per, som står här på scen tillsammans med Ryan. Hej Ryan.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
All things considered.
All things considered.
Yeah.
And as you can hear, we're going to... Ryan is not originally from Sweden, so we're going to have this conversation in English mostly, I think.
Please, yeah.
Yeah, but you do understand.
Jag kan prata svenska, men jag förstår ingenting vad jag säger, så.
Well, I understood that.
Bra för dig.
Bra för mig. Ja, men ni fattar, det kommer vara en del på ganska mycket engelska, men också svenska. And we are going to talk about fatherhood.
Fatherhood.
And parenthood,
Father,
right?
Father of the year. Father of the bride?
Well, I'm not there yet. Are you?
I don't have any daughters.
No.
Knock on wood.
Me neither. Well, I have bonus daughter, no, as we've seen. How do you say that in English? Like if you get remarried or meet a new person who has a child?
I like the bonus family word here in Swedish. I don't. In English, it's step, but only if you've legally adopted them.
Yeah, but if you don't go through that...
If you don't go through that, it's up to the family. I have no idea what...
All right.
What, you know, the lingo, the terminology is, you know?
Yeah.
Evil
stepfather.
My dad's evil girlfriend, whatever.
Exactly. Well, so I've got a bonus daughter, so maybe some kind of bonus father of the bride later on, maybe. I don't know. But we're going... talk about that. You're going through some things in your life.
Oh yeah.
As a father.
Sure, yeah. Every day.
And yeah, every day, exactly. And yeah. I have a grown-up son.
Mm-hmm.
He's turning 22. You have grown-up sons, but you've also got kids that
24 is my oldest.
Yeah. And you have younger sons.
9
as well.
The
exactly.
Youngest. Yeah.
So and it's an everyday issue, of course. So that's what we're going to talk about, and we'll be back in just, I don't know,
2 shakes of a lamb still.
Yeah.
One day, I'm going to understand. Zion.
Okej, välkomna tillbaka. Ni lyssnar på Fontänbubbel. Vi hörde Miss Lauryn Hill och To Zion. En gammal klassiker får man väl säga att det är. Och jag står här med dig, Ryan.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be talking about...
Nah, du kan snacka svenska.
Nah, well, parenthood.
Parenthood. Fatherhood.
Fatherhood, all right, yeah.
You're a father, I'm a father.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, is there a difference between a father and a dad? Do you understand that?
Good, yeah, that's a good question. That? Well, we have the Almighty Father. That's another thing.
I was told many years ago by a an ex. Anybody can be a father. It takes whatever she said to be a dad.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I kind of stuck with me, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never really thought about it,
you know,
that way.
You can, right? I've been asking a bunch of the guys around the house, you know, are you a dad, you know, do you have any children? And the guys always say, well, not that I know of, you know, ha ha ha. But how true is that? Any man can just and then, you know, life happens and you might never see that person again, and you're a father, but you're not a dad. You're not a dad, you know.
Mm.
I think there is a difference between father and dad.
Yeah, so you mean that the dad thing is more than you're involved?
Well,
and you're there.
Yeah, as we discussed last time we talked about this and picking your brain on this, you know, you never hear kids say father. I mean,
actually, I mean,
daddy, right? And in Swedish, it's papa, right? Papa, which is not father. It's also dad, daddy. Yeah, type, you know.
Well, I mean, but there is actually, I mean, it also goes back far. That's father, like.
Yeah.
But maybe not the same thing. But in certain conservative homes or.
Sure.
Back in the days,
generations,
yeah,
cultures,
they say far och
yeah.
mor. Mm-hmm. Now it's mom and dad, or yeah. as my son says, which farsan och morsan, which I thought.
Okay.
I mean, that's 70s lingo for me, but he
isn't that like slang.
Yeah,
like brorsan.
Yeah.
Heisan, svensan. Heisan, svensan.
Heisan, svensan, brorsan, farsan.
Yeah, farsan, morsan. So he's calling you like dad, bro.
Exactly.
I don't know
if I'm.
He's
if
not
I'm
saying father.
No, he's not saying father. Yeah. He's saying dad mostly, but farsan. And
so that's cool.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm cool with that. Would you be?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. All
yeah.
right.
Heck yeah. Because my 17 right now, he comes home, he goes, dad. So every day, I'm like, man, he's had a tough day. Mm-hmm. And then my 9-year-old, he comes home, he's like, dad. It's like excited. He's got to tell me. So. You know, if it was Farshan, it was the same, like Farshan. It's like, that'd be cool.
Okay, but while you're talking about your kids, you're 17-year-old. He
yeah.
just actually came back to you.
Right.
Way,
yeah.
Right?
It was a long story, but he just on Valentine's Day, he knocked on the door and was like, "Can I move in?" Basically. Mm-hmm. So of course you can. You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Was that a surprise?
Yeah. Yeah. Total shock. Mm-hmm. Total shock.
Mm-hmm. But you still reacted in, yeah.
That's my boy. Yeah. I'm not gonna, you know. It's I don't know if you guys are familiar with the prodigal son, that mm-hmm. parable that Jesus talked about. It's not that, but it's not that. mm-hmm. So I'm not spoiling him, but I'm not telling him, oh no, you messed up at your mother's, so I'm gonna, you know, confirm her behavior. Mm. And so no, you can, there's boundaries here, there's consequences here, there's repercussions here, there's you know, chores here, you know. And
does
I'm
he
not
have to do chores?
Oh yeah.
But
oh,
like
yeah,
what?
I'm not his mother. I'm not she's,
what does
she's
he have
short,
to
you know, and
to
she's
do sure.
Well, okay, so good question. His room is a pigsty.
All right.
Every day. But it has a door. And I said, as long as that door is closed and I can't see how messed up your room is, I can't see if your bed is made or not, well, then your room's clean. If that door's open, this better be spotless, because I don't want to walk by here and look at a stink
guy. So now
it's
closed forever.
I don't know when he's home, or I have to knock on the door every time. You home? You home? Okay. And then, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he lives like that. You should see this place. It's ridiculous. It's a mountain of clothes. Are they clean? Are they dirty? He's like, I leave that to me, Dad. Leave that to me. Okay, yeah, leave it to you. So.
But do you think there will be? Will it reach a certain point where you have to say, this can't go on. You have to sort of clean this mess up.
Well, yeah, there's safety. So I have a cousin, and he did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, he turned a light on, a desk lamp light on, and it fell over one day and stayed on. And then he just kept throwing the clothes on top of that and turned into a fire and burned down his apartment. So there's safety to this. So I look in there. I know what's in there. I know what's not in there. And I go, okay, this is cool. You know, does he leave his cell phone? That could start a fire, too.
But that sounds like actually a pretty nice metaphor about dadhood, fatherhood, right? Like, I mean, you sort of tell him, hey, you're almost grown up. You can take care of your stuff, but you're still there. You're sort of, what do we say in English?
Yeah.
Svenska vakar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
The difference between responsibility and actual, like we talked about why he should make his bed or not. And I go, yeah, let's talk about that. You want to talk about it? He's like, I don't get it. I'm going to go in there. I go, yeah, it makes zero sense what you're saying. So don't do it. I agree. At the same time, that door better be shut.
But one thing I'm curious about, when he came back, when he came home to you and said, hey, can I live here? And you said, and now we talked about, but I have rules, boundaries, chores. But did you feel, as a dad, as Ryan, that, oh my God, I haven't seen him for, he hasn't been with me for such a long time, so now I have to, he can, I mean, maybe not a sense of guilt, but maybe that, you know, he hasn't been here. He can just do whatever he wants. He can just be here. Do you have something to live up to, do you feel, towards him?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Let's take a song break. I'm getting emotional. Let's take a song break. Here comes the next song. I'll answer that question. Here comes the next song. Welcome back to Fontainebleau. So, Perry, you were asking me, like, if I owe my son, my 17-year-old, if I owe him, like a debt or something.
Yeah, if you have the sense of that, if you feel that, you know, like what happens to you when he knocks on the door.
I do not feel that one iota, actually. It's hilarious here because my 9-year-old, when I was growing up, when he was growing up and starting to speak and sit at the table and manners, his mother would always make him say at the end of every meal, "Tak for maten." And I'm sitting there looking at her going like, why are you making him say to us, "Thanks for the food"? We wanted him there in the first place. So shouldn't we be saying to him, "Thank you for eating your food"? And of course that was a big argument, and this is the culture, and this is doesn't really mean this or that, and I couldn't figure it out. So when it comes to my 17-year-old, truth be told, he was an accident. I wasn't trying to have him, but we were in a relationship, and then she comes home. I'm pregnant. Cool or not cool, I mean, what are you gonna do? I'm keeping the baby. Nice. And so he came out, and of course I love him, and I don't feel that I owe him. Of course I would take a bullet for him, but I'm not, I haven't seen you in so long, so now I'm going to prodigal son you and, you know, give. Here's all the money, here's all the food, here's all the, you know, oh, you got a girlfriend, here's some condoms. Well, actually, that's not right. Here are some condoms, actually, for that one. You that's know what I'm saying? I'm not going to, you know, need me to drive you here? Need me to drop you off? You know, oh, you got some more money for Copenhagen? Here you go. Like, he has to, you know, there's boundaries, there's guidelines,
But if we go back to, sorry, structures. I want to, you know, just scratch that itch a little bit.
Yeah,
what happened to you when he knocked on the door? Was that something?
Was it
because I don't really, I know you
so
a little bit.
So what happened?
Is it all like practical stuff? I don't really.
So what happened was he called me and I missed the call. And so I sent him a text message and I said, "Hey, son, I saw you called. What's going on?" Of course, his generation just ghosting, and then on February 14th on Valentine's Day, I got to text him. He goes, "Hey, Dad, can I crash?" And I go, "Whoa, I haven't seen him or talked to him for over a year now," and he just out of the blue calls me, and then the next weekend, "Can I just crash?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, come over. You can. This would be nice. I'm thinking a reconnect." And then he says, "Okay, I'll be over in 10 minutes." He knocks on the door. He's got a full suit, one of those suitcases that you got to pay extra to get onto the airlines. Yeah. I'm like, "Whoa, what's in here? A person?" Like, and he's got a backpack, and he's got, you know, 3 pairs of shoes. And he goes, "Mom kicked me out." I go, "Oh, okay. Okay. So you just crashing for tonight or what?" And he goes, "No, I want to move in." I go, "Oh, well, come in and let's talk." And we had this big discussion. And in those discussions and early moments, I just kept thinking to myself, and I'm still thinking the same thing, "Don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. Don't mess this up." I don't want to do something that's going to push him back to his mother because I haven't seen him for a year and a half. Sure, I'm being selfish in that regard. At the same time, I am going to be myself and stand by my boundaries and rules. And we have had an argument here and there since he's lived with me now. But he's still, I think, because I'm putting down my foot in these certain things, he got in trouble last weekend. He was supposed to take his younger brother to basketball, and he woke up maybe like 30 minutes before to go to basketball. And he's like, "Yeah, he's my brother, but he's not my responsibility, so I'm not taking him." He went right back into the bedroom. I go, oh, okay, okay.
What do you do then?
Well, he said he made plans that day, and so that's what he really wanted to do. And I says, you can take your brother to basketball and bring him back home and have the rest of the weekend. Or you can stay home while I take your brother and wait for me to come back home, and then you can go and have your weekend. And I don't know when I'll be home. You know when you'll be home because basketball's only 1 hour. Mm. But I don't know because I know the parents there, and sometimes we get fika afterwards, and it ended up being 5 hours after basketball, you know. And my youngest loved it because he was with his friends, you know. And when I got home, guess who wasn't home? My 17-year-old. Mm. Mm. Guess who's in trouble? But within 6 hours, he starts texting, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, before we even talked through things. So we're already at that stage where it's like, and in many ways it feels like nothing happened, our paths of separation. Mm. But there is that there, and so I am like, okay, I don't want him to, like I said, I don't want to spoil him. I don't want to do what you're saying. I owe him this, that. Mm. But he does need a strong father in his life, and I am his only father. Mm. I am his dad, so I'm going to, if I say, hey, you'd be home at midnight, he was home Friday night at 00:00. When he opened the doors, oh, you made it. All right. So.
But I think that, I mean, I get, isn't the thing that you thought, don't mess this up, don't mess this up, don't mess this up, isn't that sort of a sign that you actually, I mean, that I would say that's a sign of being, that you're actually taking your fatherhood seriously, that you're, this is important, you know, and that sort of, I would think that
right.
signals something, that, I mean, you signal something to him
right.
when you think that for yourself, in a way, you know, you sort of, otherwise, if you say, you know.
Yeah, that is very true. He's 17 now. He can see with his own eyes what's going on between me and his mother. Mm-hmm. When he was 7, 8, 9, much different, much different. You know, if mom says your dad's the devil, then I'm the devil, right? Mm. Today, your dad's the devil. Is he? Mm. I don't know. I'm talking to him. I'm seeing him. We're hanging out. We're going for walks. We have dinners. Mm. You know? You're not in a similar boat that I'm in now, but your 22-year-old, you and his mother don't see eye to eye, right? You guys are
separated. But we see eye to eye.
Well, yeah, but you're separate though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
You had that dynamic of divorce, and then you had the single fatherhood type thing going on. How old was he, and what had to be?
Yeah. Oh, that was. Talk about guilt. That was a guilt trip for me. Mm. He was 11. Mm. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That was that.
Yeah.
Could that be... That was went through my head. This could be the worst time for him, you know,
possibly,
age-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then he went off on a total... down a rabbit hole in many ways with, you know, drugs and the wrong people around him.
The red pill you said.
Criminal stuff. All that, you know, and I mean, it's not like I can say that it just all this happened because we divorced at that moment of his life. It doesn't work like that. But of course, that it definitely affects it. I would say that. I mean, how could it not affect him?
Yeah.
That his parents, you know,
how did it affect specifically the discipline? When you were together, you disciplined him together.
Yeah.
Can I get another question? Mm-hmm. Did you, not that children are the fault that you get divorced, but, well, mine are, but that's a different story. No? No, okay, fine.
No.
No joke. no, but I know that different parenting styles, and you don't know until you become a parent, can be one reason. So I don't like how you disciplined Junior. I don't like how you disciplined Junior. Mm. Okay, we're divorcing.
Is that so?
That was what my ex said.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure that out. So you're okay with me having Junior 50% of the time by myself with the behavior you don't like.
But you know what, Ryan? I don't believe that. I don't think that is a reason for divorce, actually. I think that's sort of what you project your other reasons.
Shit on the wall.
Whatever you have.
Just shit on the wall.
That's what I think anyway.
Okay.
But with we, I think
with
we were...
you.
Yeah, but I think we were pretty tight, his mother and I, in our values, our views on the...
Yeah.
What he had to raise him.
Upbringing.
You know, his upbringing. Yeah. I think... So I don't think that was... That was not really an issue, I think, when we separated. I think we were pretty, and we even though that was a filthy divorce in many ways, and that was my fault, not
so
to go into
that
too much, but
the disciplining though.
Yeah,
how about the bonding too? Did you and him bond more
in periods?
Yeah,
and then suddenly he bonded more with his mother, and he wanted to live there, and then suddenly he came out, I want to live here more, and so that sort of it also. Went up and down, I think, or you know,
yeah.
And I wasn't always. I mean, I think we talked about that. I think I was a good dad for a small kid, but when your kid, you know, gets into the teenage years, that's a whole different thing. You know that, yeah. So, and I lost him there for a couple of years, and that's also that's on me. Also, it's not. I mean, not only on me. But that was, I think I was too full of dealing with my own shit for a while.
Yeah.
You know, so I lost him there for a while. But still, I did not lose him because we always, I mean, I can feel that now. He's on a different track now. He's okay, you know, and our relationship is all in, I do think it's always been good. You know,
yeah.
That we've always been able to talk, and he calls me when he, that I don't know if that's only a good thing, but when he has love problems or whatever, he calls me.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, maybe.
My kids only call me when they need money.
Yeah, he does that too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always, you know, when he, money, love. Money, love.
Yeah.
Should we listen to something?
We should do another song.
Back? Yeah.
Yeah.
Välkommen tillbaka till Fontänbubbel. Jag står här, Per heter jag. Jag står med Ryan och vi pratar på engelska. Ryan kommer från USA. Vi pratar om föräldraskap och kanske fokus på att vara pappa.
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood is what, yeah, exactly. And
being a good dad. Raising beautiful children.
Yeah, and we're celebrating ourselves.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, that's funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, I have a 22-year-old. You have four kids. One is the oldest one, 24.
24, yeah.
Can you answer that question? I can't.
Well,
I cannot answer that question.
Well, the whole, you know, I want to be better than my father at fatherhood, and I want my children to be better than me. So what? You know, I'm not going to be my dad. I'm not going to be my dad. I'm not going to be my dad. What did my dad do? I was spanked. My dad had a chip on his shoulder. He yelled all the time. I mean, he used to say, if you don't clean this house, heads are going to roll.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what that meant at the time.
No, that sounds scary.
You're going to cut our heads off.
Yeah.
If we don't clean your mess, Dad, you're going to cut my head off?
Exactly. So
well, then who's going to clean your mess if you cut our heads off? Right? So I never talk like that to my children. Let that be known. Don't spank them. Does that mean though that they're going to be better than me? Hopefully, right? I mean,
just the fact that you have hopes for that.
There's no physical violence, physical abuse going on, and verbal abuse. I don't yell at him either. The yelling thing is a huge one. I didn't know that till I became a father. That, you know, you're just like, if you just say something to someone in your just calm voice, even if you can feel your argument or something.
Mm-mm.
It actually goes across a lot more. Like when I say to my 17-year-old, you know, hey, you got to be home by midnight. Just like that. I could see.
Hey, I get scared now when you say that. Yeah. I'll be home by midnight, Ryan.
I can see it in the eyes. I'm like, yeah. man, he knows. But if I was like, you better be home by midnight, you know, it's like, oh, who are you yelling at me? Like, you know.
Yeah, so, because then when you want to rebel about, you know, also towards that.
You want to rebel. You want to who do you think you are. Mm-hmm. And when he's talking to his mother on the phone, I hear his tone, man, that's a you can get so much more accomplished with this conversation if you kind of just try to stay monotone.
Have you ever but it's not always that easy though.
Have you worked with yourself? I have a PhD in anger management.
Okay. So that's what we need to get. I need to get that maybe.
Yeah. It is not, it takes a while before you get triggered, and then you re-trigger and go, oh, wait a minute. Oh, this person's ticking me off because, and then you see why they're ticking you off. And go, oh, I'm just going to sit here and stare now. Because when you're heated, most of the time, if I slap you in the face, you slap me in the face. Mm. That's most of the society. We're working on that, but, you know, try to make it whatever. But anyway.
But if we come back to this, can we? Yeah. Because I see this guy.
We got a guest.
Olof.
Heter Olof.
Hej Olof.
Välkomna Olof.
Välkommen till Olof.
Hej.
Hej.
Hörs jag ut?
Ja, det gör du banne mig.
Jag kommer snacka lite svenska för du lovade svin.
Svenska ska gå bra.
We promised him Swedish. Yeah. For, and he will take care of that. Yeah. Men du, Olof, vi pratar lite om det här egentligen. Nu var vi lite inne på just det också, hur man påverkas av sina föräldrar. Alltså man tar ju intryck av där du pratar om att din pappa hade chip on his shoulder and all that.
Yeah.
Eller, och sådär. Men, och förebilder. Liksom. Har dina föräldrar varit förebilder för dig i ditt liv?
Jag känner väl kanske i efterhand eller delvis. Det är svårt att säga. Jag har väl aldrig sett dem riktigt på det sättet. Men de på något sätt har de förmodligen ändå alltid varit det. Jag har väl aldrig haft... Alltså, jag har väl lite grann avundats dem, den banan de har tagit. Och liksom att jag aldrig har själv... Att jag själv inte har blivit en så stark och självständig person som de är. Liksom. Det är lite grann... Det känner jag väl lite sådär att jag saknar.
Men tror du att det har att göra med dem? Alltså är det så här, är det någonting som de inte har... Jag menar, det är inte så att allting är föräldrars fel. Det är inte
nej,
det
tror jag inte. Jag skyller inte absolut inte på dem.
Nej.
Jag vet inte riktigt vad det kan göra. Alltså, det kan ju vara på något sätt indirekt att man har... Jag har inte... Det vet jag inte om det är att de inte har uppmuntrat mig kanske. Vissa är föräldrar, ja men du kan göra allt bara du lägger märket i. Men de har varit väldigt tydliga med liksom, ja du har dina begränsningar. Du har dina styrkor och har dina begränsningar. Och jag har på något sätt levt lite grann in i den rollen och tagit liksom att nej, jag är inte så... Så nu går det lite åt andra hållet när min mamma till exempel får mig. Ja, men det här klarar du. Det här är inte så blir jag själv liksom att nej, jag känner, nu börjar jag känna mina begränsningar.
Det är intressant ändå att var de väldigt realistiska och pragmatiska då?
Ja, men precis.
Mm. That's interesting, right? Isn't it? Like if your parents are really pragmatic about, not really, you can do anything to them. Well, you got your limits.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, hur gör man det? I think that's fairly difficult, isn't it? I mean, how should you balance that?
Jag har inget bra svar på den frågan. Jag vet inte vad jag skulle säga om jag hade barn. Liksom, så.
Nej, jag fattar det.
I tell my kids that. Yeah? You can do anything you want, do anything you put your mind to. You can. You are your only limit.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, I think most parents
and,
do that.
You know, my 9-year-old is the toughest one because every time he can't, I don't know, shoot the basket correctly, run fastest. Sometimes it's a breakdown. Mm-hmm. I can't. And you know, I am a Mexican blood.
Mm.
So part of me is Mexican. So I always tell my children, are you a Mexican or a Mexicant? You know, come on, like just, let's go, let's do it.
Men jag kan säga som så, om vi tar det här med de här rent känslomässiga aspekterna, så kan jag tycka att det finns ju någonting som heter emotionell support. Alltså att man inte försöker tala till rätta försöker tala till rätta någon annan. Nej, men det här är inte, nu ska du inte tänka på det. Nej, men det här förstår du väl inte, att man verkligen känner in att, och nej, men jag förstår din ilska och sådär. Och jag kan säga att jag har fått sådär. Mm. Min mamma har jag fått till viss del kanske, även om jag tycker att jag har ibland blivit arg. Men snälla nu, måste du vara så rationell hela tiden? Kan du inte ge mig lite sådär? Så det har väl varit sådär lite upp och ner i en balansgång. Min pappa däremot, kan jag säga att där har jag varit, där tycker jag att han direkt helt vägrat att vara emotionell support.
Liksom
det, han ska alltid, nej men tyst, nej men du fattar väl att jag inte fattar det här heller. Att han vill aldrig bekräfta mina känslor. Han är alltid liksom så här att i bästa fall att han, så försöker han rationellt förklara, men i värsta fall så håller han på och skriker och säger att jag ska lugna ner mig. Så jag kan säga att han,
men
har,
tror
inte
att han
mig,
har svårt med det då? Alltså jag tänker att ja, det låter som
han
att han...
Jag tror han har svårt för det. Mm. Min mamma är det väl förmodligen att hon har gjort en avvägning vad som är liksom, och att ibland så passar det, ibland passar det inte liksom mig. Men min pappa är det på något sätt att han, det är en bristande, någon bristande som jag
är
har.
Är du arg på honom för det?
Lite grann, ja.
Olaf, yes. Vill du ha barn?
Nej, det är hypotetiskt.
Nej, ja. Hypotetiskt. Varför du vill inte ha barn?
Alltså det är inte, eftersom jag inte är i den situationen. Jag har ingen att ha barn med, och ingen jag, och jag har inte haft, när jag varit i en relation så har vi aldrig har vi aldrig fått barn heller liksom.
Vad heter du på svenska? Brors, niece,
ja,
jo,
men det har jag, nephew. Nephews, yes.
Was that på svenska?
Ja, bror och systers. Systersöner.
Har ni dem?
Jag har.
Ja? Hur många?
Ja, vad blir det nu? Tre stycken, snart fyra.
Tre stycken, snart fyra. Så är du en bra onkel?
Oftast. Ibland känns som att de inte vill låtsas om. Ibland när de har fått för mycket stimulans, när det har varit för aktivitet och så, då låtsas de knappt om att jag finns. Annars är de väldigt mycket att de vill att jag ska läsa sagor för dem ibland och så, att när de är på det humöret. Att eller att jag ska leka. Jag har ofta en lek som jag ska göra med dem, att jag är monster, att jag ska jaga dem.
Det gillar barn, ja.
Men de har så mycket regler för mig också, att monstret får inte, monstret får inte gå i soffan. De har pack så monstret får inte gå, och när monstret ska sova, så när de säger att jag ska sova, så sover det. Så det finns inte så mycket som monstret kan göra. Det är en massa regler.
They limit the monster from the start.
Yeah.
You know that. The monster can do this.
Yeah. Funny.
That's really funny. And they are 6 and 4 years old.
So you're not a father, and you don't want to be a father.
I don't know.
It's never too late. I mean, you just take life as it comes. If you meet someone and she wants kids,
that's way. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you, Olaf. Everybody.
Thank you.
Hallå och välkomna tillbaka. Ni hörde Ryan sjunga med här i vilken låt var det här nu då?
Offspring
of the Kids Aren't All Right. That's that's a telling title. But our kids are all right.
Well, it depends
right
on how you look at it.
At this moment. And of course. But
the kids are the future. But
I just come to think about which one, the Bad Religion song, the kids are alt-right.
The kids are alt-right, yeah.
Like,
But he doesn't sound anything like this.
No, of course not. But I think that's a sort of spot on.
Great band. Yeah. Great band.
Yeah. Yeah. But when we talk about it, we talked a little bit before, and it came to my mind when you talked before, Olof, about this, what the things we take with us from our parents. And
right.
And we're talking about...
Yeah.
So, but as a parent, if we bear with us, Olof, what's the best part and the worst part of being a dad?
Well,
would
I
you
think
say? Have
I
you thought about that?
Yeah, no, I think for me the best part is watching them learn, positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they finally... Dad, I can wipe my own butt. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Right?
<Yeah. laughs>
When they finally learn. You know, you were at my comedy thing a couple nights ago, mm-hmm. the open house, mm-hmm. and my true story, my 17-year-old, he picks up the glass, and I'm like, why don't you pick up the plate too? And he, with your other hand, it's free. And then he puts his hand on the same glass. So two hands on one dish. It's like, oh, my gosh. Like... So what is he learning there, and what am I learning from him? So that part, I think, is the best part, other than just being around them. I think it goes in stages, too. I mean, when they're babies, I love when they're just laying on my chest, sleeping, just...
Yeah.
And then the game was on, I have it on mute, and anytime, you know, Jordan would score or the Bears would have a touchdown, I'd have to be like, you know, just the quiet, you know, like, don't wake them up. Like,
But you really have to be aware that it's not just you.
No, yeah, it's both. Takes two to tango. Mm. Yeah, it's, yeah.
But what's the worst part? I mean, there are a lot of...
The worst part with my experience in my life being a dad, the worst part is not being around them, not mm-hmm. being in their physical... presence when they're quote unquote supposed to be, you know, he's supposed to be with me 50% of the time. Well, it didn't work out that way.
Mm.
'Cause there are times where it's like, I cannot wait to get away from this 9-year-old, 17-year-old, get out of my house. I think, you know, and the alone time is good too, but it's got to be healthy. So the worst part is the unwanted time away from them. It's like right now I don't have my 9-year-old. He's with his mother. It's his mother's week, and I gotta be honest, this last week was a tough one. That he really got on me. I don't know if it was the moon or what, but like, man, him and his brother were just ganging up on me, and I was like, oh, you're going to your mother's tomorrow, and I can't wait. But now, like, tomorrow will probably be like, oh man, I miss this guy, he's gotta get back, you gotta come on. So think that. How about for yourself? The best part, the worst part.
I mean, I agree with the best parts. I mean, just the fact that you have someone. I don't know. Love is a strange thing. I think, you know, that when
when you're raising your son, didn't you kind of feel like it's kind of like, not that it's half of you, but you could see you.
Yeah,
you could see you there.
That's maybe the worst.
Can't
part,
you? Is that
anyway?
Like,
yeah.
Why is this knucklehead doing that? Oh, I did that too that way. Why is he brushing his teeth?
I usually
blamed
his mother for all
the,
you know, but no. But best part, I'm just the fact that he's around. You know, that sort of it. I don't know if I can put that into words really. That it's nothing changed or will ever change my life.
What's he gonna say next?
The way that did when he arrived. You know, that was sort of my life became something
so
else.
Was he planned?
Not really. No. But I mean, no. It's not like we were working on it, but we had a good relationship and it happened, and yeah.
Married.
But maybe when am I think about this? No, I don't think so. No, it wasn't planned. But I'm trying to remember. This was almost 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, but it
different
it
world.
It was. So
why only one as well?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we divorced. Because we weren't able to
conceive another
we
child.
We really worked on getting a second child.
Mm.
And he was, my son was, he was so sad during his upbringing that he didn't have any siblings.
Yeah.
He woke up crying and saying, you know, talking about looking at us, oh, I will never get anyone again. And we wanted another child, but we tried all different ways.
He wanted to be an older brother.
definitely.
Yeah.
And there are some really, for me, that was, I have some moments with my then wife when we talked about this and how we're going to do this, when it didn't work out, you know, which how do you, IVF, heter det på svenska, you know, when you do insemination and,
yeah.
and stuff. I mean, it didn't IVF, work out, it yeah. didn't work out, you know. And so it made the, I think, really think that that was one of the big parts to why we, some a rift between us.
Grew apart, grew whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
in that. And it was, yeah, that was a hard, a dark time. In my, and it was just sad because we had a kid and we loved him and it was just wonderful. But sort of this thing grew into, like one of my favorite bands said, it grew into something we could no longer contain in a way, you know. But the worst part, I would say, about being a dad is that you actually have to look at yourself in a very, very, there's no way around it. You're seeing yourself in another way. You have to look at yourself. And I mean, that's a good thing, I do believe, but it's also the worst part of it. It's I mean, I, all these times where you realize all the, you know, oh, why did I say that? Why did I do that?
Oh,
who
gosh.
Am I? you know? And hopefully that turns you into something, to yeah. a better person.
Yeah.
So.
This won't happen next time.
yeah. I don't know. What time is it? Is it maybe 3 o'clock?
Yeah, it's getting time to wind it down.
Ja, det ska vi göra. Men Olof, har du någonting? Du har ju stått kvar här. Vi bara körde på.
Yeah.
Like the super dads we are. Har du någonting som du tänkte på i det här? Liksom?
Ja, så jag känner väl just, lite just det här att man inte... Det är så svårt att veta vad man är, vad som... var en bra, alltså så att säga, vad har varit en bra uppfostran för mig och vad har inte varit bra, och överlag så har det väl varit bra. Jag kunde väl ibland tycka att mina föräldrar ibland, att jag tyckte att varför får jag inte lov att göra det här, mina klasskompisar får lov att göra det, men jag vet inte, det var en del av mina klasskompisar hade snarare det här att de var, att deras, att de hade, många hade föräldrar som inte brydde sig så mycket, att de var lite, ja men låt det gå, så jag vet inte, det kan få. Men alltså just det här att, alltså jag har ju haft fördelen att jag har haft föräldrar som har levt ihop under hela mitt liv, så att säga. Så nu är det väl snarare att syskonen bor lite varstans i landet. Så det är väl det som känns lite
men
konstigt.
Men du blev ju okej.
Ja, jag tror det, ja.
Okej, Olof.
Ja.
Kan jag stanna där ju?
Ja.
Jag bara skojar med dig. Nu känner jag mig som din pappa här.
Ja.
Plötsligt.
Cherish the moments you have with their young nieces because they will be old, quick and forever.
Ja.
The rest of our lives we will be adults. Those little tiny babies.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year old. My nine year old, he's going to turn 10 in January next year. But
that's the one of the most scary things. Oh. I think, you know, when you had your kid and you say, oh my God, this is for life. And it is. But those 15 years
but I
went by like, poof.
I remember when I was 7 years old, I sometimes went to bed and slept. We had a little... And they hugged each other, me and my dad, a little while. So I slept. So it was fine for me to come. But then I sometimes went to sleep a little in his bed when I was 11, when he wasn't there. And then he came. Why are you lying in my bed? So I was still thinking. But I wasn't 7 year old anymore, so I wasn't so cute when I was 11.
Not so cute when you're... And now I sense Emil pacing around here. So maybe we should just sort of... We have to stop now.
Yeah. Let's do it again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Olof. Thank you all. See you another time. Hej då!